Younger, the rest of us could open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke. We've been studying the Gospel of Luke now for, a long time. And we're in chapter 22. Chapter 22. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time, which would be verse 31. Verse number 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the Word of God this evening. I do pray the Spirit of God would help me to do that. And may the Spirit of God fill me and give me the right words to say. And may the Spirit of God speak to hearts tonight. Oh, we pray for a special blessing tonight as we meet here this Lord's Day evening. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to sift, you notice the word sift in verse 31. Jesus warned Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. To sift means to separate the chaff from the wheat. And our Lord is warning Peter that the devil, Satan, wanted to have him, that he could sift him as wheat. This sifting is usually done with a sieve. Now, in Matthew 3:12, we're told that the Lord Jesus does his sifting with a fan. This fan that is referred to in Matthew 3:12 is like a small shovel. The wheat was thrown into the air and separated from the chaff. But here in Luke 22, it is not the Lord. It's getting kind of noisy, if we can just keep it kind of quiet. Here in Luke 22, it's not the Lord who's doing the sifting, it's the devil. So in Matthew 3:12, it's the Lord sifting, but here in Luke 22, it's Satan who is doing the sifting. Now, all four Gospels tell us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell us that our Lord predicted Peter's threefold denial. And when I say threefold denial, in verse 34, he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt deny me three times. Thou shalt thrice, three times deny that thou knowest me. Now that's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, only Luke refers to Satan's role in Peter's denial. Or you could say only Luke refers to Satan's role in Peter's backsliding. Or only Luke refers to Satan's role in sifting, being the sifter, that he may sift you as wheat. We don't see this reference to sifting in Matthew, Mark, and John. Now, another thing I want to point out, it's been noted that the word you in verse 31, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, the first word you, desired to have you, in the original Greek, that's in the plural. Sometimes the Greek is more specific than our English. Our English, you can't tell if it's singular or plural. I could say, I told you, and I'm talking to the whole congregation. Or I could talk to one person, to the car, I told you, now it's singular, you see. But in Greek, it's more specific, it's clearer. And it's been pointed out in the Greek, you here is in the plural. So what I'm trying to say is that Satan wanted to have them all. Satan wanted to get them all to fall. He wanted to get them all, he wanted to trip them all up, get them all backslidden. Satan desired to have them all so we could sift them all as wheat. He wanted to hinder God's program and get all of the apostles to fall. But then our Lord switches to the singular thee in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee. Now, thee is singular. So he says, Satan wants to have you all, but Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for thee. So that really suggested that while they all needed prayer, they all needed intercessory prayer, Peter was in special need. The devil was really working on Peter. That seems to be what's happening here. In other words, the devil had his eyes on Peter. Peter was in serious danger. And what makes it worse is that Peter was in danger, but he was so headstrong and so self-confident. Look at what he said in verse 33. Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And in a short while, he would be denying the Lord three times. And here he is, he's so confident. Lord, don't worry about me. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. So the devil had his eyes on Peter. Peter was in serious danger. But the good news about this is our Lord was praying for him. Because he says here, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. Again, that's Peter. Thee here is referring to Peter. That thy faith fail not. So the good news is the bad news. The devil's trying to sift him, trip him up, hinder him, make him fall. And the good news is the Lord was praying for him. Now, by this time in our story tonight in Luke 22, by this time the devil had already captured Judas Iscariot. The devil had already gotten him. Let's go back just a brief review, chapter 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now, we know that if the devil entered into him, it's all over for Judas. You know, there are many, many instances in Scripture, many references to people being possessed by demons. But this is the only reference to a man being possessed by Satan himself. So the devil certainly captured Judas Iscariot. Judas was too late for Judas. And he tried, apparently he tried, the devil tried to do the same thing to Peter, but thank God he was unable to capture Peter. Oh, he tripped him up a little bit, and Peter denied the Lord three times, but Peter did repent and get right with God. An old Puritan preacher named Trapp said that Jesus uses his winnowing fan to get rid of the chaff, according to Matthew 3:12. But the devil uses his fan to get rid of the wheat. Interesting, if you think of it that way. So the Lord does his sifting. He's trying to get rid of the chaff. The devil uses it to get rid of the wheat. Now, I got a very simple outline. One, we're going to look at the sifter. Two, the sifted, and then best of all, the advocate. So let's look at the sifter. Satan is referred to in the Bible as the tempter in Matthew 4:3. He's referred to as the tempter in 1 Thessalonians 3:5. But here, he's not only the tempter, he's the sifter. Satan is the tempter, he's the sifter. He's also a deceiver. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means deceit, craftiness, trickery. The devil's tricky. That's why he fools so many people. That's why he deceives so many people. So many people are misled by the devil. We meet him every day. You probably can think of somebody right now who's being misled by the devil. You try to give them the gospel, try to explain to them how they need to get saved, and they come up with some ridiculous explanation why they don't want to get saved. The devil's been deceiving them, you see. Genesis chapter 3 and 1 Timothy 2 verse 14 tells us how Satan deceived Eve. And he's been deceiving people ever since. Ever since the Garden of Eden, he's been deceiving people. Revelation 12:9 says Satan is the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Get that? He deceives the whole world. And by the way, his name Satan means adversary. That's what the word Satan means. Our Lord said the devil is a liar and the father of it, John 8:44. Satan's also a perverter. That is, he perverts or distorts that which has been given by God to man. Satan tries to pervert that. I guess you could say a good illustration of that would be this whole homosexual movement, gay marriage and transgender. That's the devil perverting everything. God made man, God made woman, God made marriage. That's good. That's a good thing. And the devil tries to get in there and distort that and pervert that and twist it around. And it's a mess. I tell you what, it's shocking to me what's happening now with this, I don't even know what they call it now, Q, B, L, S, T, G. I don't have these different names for it now. I just call it wickedness. That's what it is. You know, people are being blinded by the devil. The other day, I think I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, but the other day, the Justice Department, under our new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, stated they will not defend President Obama's order that public schools allow boys who say they're girls into girls' restrooms and showers and locker rooms. I'm so glad they changed that policy. Under that policy, the federal government was saying, we're not going to send any more funds to your schools if you don't allow boys to use the girls' bathroom. That's terrible. Thank God they're changing that. So there is still some sanity left in Washington, D.C. Now, the Bible says man was created in the image of God, but Satan's trying to pervert this. You know, you read these articles, it's heartbreaking. Some guy says, well, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I was born a man, but I really know I'm a woman. No, God made you a man, you're a man. That's it. That's crazy. Bruce Jenner says he's always been a woman. No, he's just a mixed up man. That's all. In fact, in some places now, college campuses and other crazy places, you can get in trouble if you call a man who says a woman he. Got to say she. But they can put me in jail. I'm not going to call him she. It's not a she. I don't care how much makeup he puts on or whatever. I don't even think about it. It's so crazy. But that's the devil. See, there's the devil doing that. The devil's blinding people. Consider how the devil perverts God's program in the spiritual realm. Think of all the millions of people who are very religious. I mean, they're devout, they're pious, they're sincere, but they're lost. The devil's mixed them up. So they think they're serving God, but they're not. It's shocking. You know, when Brother Noel and I were in Cambodia, everywhere you turn around, somebody's burning incense and bowing down to a statue, there's idols everywhere. They're religious, but they're lost. They're blinded by the devil, what it is. Well, Satan has been very effective in blinding their eyes to the true gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, now the God of this world is the devil, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The devil blinds people's minds. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, the devil has his ministers. I know sometimes it sounds shocking to people's ears, but look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, notice he bamboozled her, he deceived her, he fooled her, he beguiled Eve through his subtlety. The devil's very subtle, very crafty. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, jump down, if you will, to verse number, we can read number 4, and then we'll jump down to verse number 13. But first go to 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, notice it's another Jesus. You say, well, how can there be another Jesus? Well, it's not the real Jesus, but they say it's Jesus. Like the Mormon Jesus. That's not the real Jesus, right? The Muslim Jesus. So what's the Muslim Jesus? Well, the Muslim Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins. So that can't be the real Jesus, because the real Jesus died on the cross for our sins, you see? The Muslim Jesus, they say he's not God. But my Bible says he's God. Amen. So then their Jesus is not the real Jesus. So if somebody comes along preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, there's another spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's another spirit. Now, if it's not the Holy Spirit, what kind of spirit is? Well, it's a demon. That's what it is. It's a false spirit. It's an evil spirit. Now, if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. Look, there's another gospel. There's a true gospel, and there's another gospel. I hear people talk about the prosperity gospel. That's another gospel. That's not the real gospel. It's another gospel. And there's other gospels, too. The works gospel, you know. You get to heaven by your good works. You know, some people say, well, you know, we don't really believe you're saved by good works. We believe you're saved by grace through faith plus good works. No, you can't add in good works. You can't. It's God's grace and grace alone. by faith in Christ and faith alone. You can't mix in grace and work. It doesn't work. That's a false gospel. That's another gospel. So he says, if you receive another gospel, see, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with them. Now go down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now what does that tell you? That tells me a lot of people are going to be deceived by them, because they seem to have the ability to transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. You see? And they're deceitful. In verse 14, no marvel, there was, don't be surprised about this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's incredible. The devil himself can transform himself. The devil knows how to transform himself into an angel of light. In verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing. In other words, we shouldn't be surprised. If his ministers, notice, whose ministers? Satan's ministers. Satan has ministers. That's right. If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, we're talking about this homosexual thing. They have so-called homosexual ministers. Now, I can't for the life of me figure out how anybody in their right mind can go to a church when they know that minister's a homosexual. I can't figure it out. They must be crazy. Or lesbian. Can you imagine that? And you know what? I read this article many, many years ago. I read an article. Turns out a lot of these churches are dead. You know what I mean? I mean, they're dead. And there's no soul winning because they don't understand the gospel. They don't know what it means to be born again. They don't believe the Bible, don't even understand the Bible, don't preach the Bible. And so they're dead. Only a handful of people come to church and don't even know why they're going there. Just force of habit, I guess. And they can't get a preacher, can't get a minister to come in, take over the church. So these homosexual groups get in there. They're organized. By the way, one thing about homosexuals, they're very organized. Don't miss that. They're very organized. And they have these organizations. They call it a placement service. And they contact these denominations. It could be Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian. And they say, hey, you got a vacancy? Oh, yeah, we got some churches that can't get a pastor. They've been looking for you. We can supply you with a pastor. And they send homosexuals in there. Now, when they get in there, some folks don't like it. They leave. But you know what? Some stay. And you know what? They're in there now. Let me tell you something. The devil is very slick. He's very, very sneaky. Don't be surprised. No more. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose then shall be according to their works. Now, I mentioned this transgender thing, which to me is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But you know what? There are transgender ministers too now. They've been like women preachers who say, I'm going on vacation. I'll see you later. They come back as men. I'm back from my vacation. I'm still your pastor. I'm a man now. What? Or vice versa. A man's a pastor, and he slips out of town for a while, comes back, and I'm still the same me, but I'm now a man or whatever. I'm a woman. And they change. They switch back. Like, that, to me, is wicked. Yeah. Now, how anybody can tolerate such a thing? But that's happening a lot if you keep up with the news. Now, the devil has his ministers. There's another gospel, according to verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 11:4, there's another spirit, there's another Jesus, you see? So you could say, really, the devil's specialty is religion. I've been saying that for years. You know, people say, oh, the devil, man, he's got these nightclubs and these dance halls, and, you know, he's always out there with the drunkards and the dope. No, I don't think he spends much time with them. I think his focus is religion. I've always believed that. Oh, don't get me wrong. These people that are enslaved to alcohol and drugs, they're definitely under the sway of the devil. I'm not minimizing that, but I don't think he needs to spend much time with them. Yeah. They're just so addicted to their dope and their booze and all the other vices that the devil doesn't have to pay much attention to them. But he really works hard to corrupt churches and get into colleges, Christian colleges. You know, many of these colleges used to be strong Christian colleges. Like Yale and Harvard and Princeton. They was strong. Brown was the first Baptist school in America. Man, I wouldn't send my dog there now. That school's a mess. What happened? The devil got in there. He got in there and ruined it. I heard in Harvard they started getting so liberal, a lot of people got fed up and said, that did it. We're going to start a new school. And they started Yale. Well, after a while, Yale got real liberal too. And that's the history of Christianity, by the way. Schools start getting liberal, they build new ones, and they had to start building new ones. Same thing with churches. Church gets liberal, they start new churches. Well, anyway, the devil's specialty is religion. You study Revelation chapter 13, and you study Revelation chapter 17, and you'll see the devil specializes in religion. Now, I believe whereas the devil is very, very successful in many ways in deceiving people and leading people astray, I believe his greatest deception is the matter of salvation. That he has convinced many people they can get to heaven without being born again. He has persuaded and convinced many people they get to heaven because they're good people. How many times have you met somebody and you try to tell them you need to get saved? I'm a good person. I'm really good. Oh, I'm a hard worker. I take care of my family. And they start bragging on themselves. You can't get to heaven by being a good hard worker or a good family man or whatever. It's not going to get you to heaven. No, my Bible says you must be born again. But the devil deceives people. Jesus said, he is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But yet, man has devised many ways to try to get to heaven. But that's the devil's behind that. People think they're going to get to heaven by being baptized. I don't know how many times folks have told me that. I say, you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah. How'd you get saved? I was baptized. Whoa, I didn't ask if you were baptized. I said, are you saved? You can get baptized in the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, the Great Lakes, Hudson River, East River. You can get baptized in a puddle in your backyard. You're not going to get to heaven. Can't get baptized. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not by baptism can't wash away any sins. It's sad that many people are trusting in their religion instead of trusting in Jesus Christ. They're deceived by the devil. Let's move on. That's the sifter. The devil's the sifter. How about the sifted? Luke 22. Go back to Luke, please. And verse 31. Luke 22 and verse number 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. As I said earlier, our Lord used the plural word for you in verse 31. But then he said to Peter, I have prayed for thee, singular, for thee, Peter, you see. Now, I believe the reason the Lord singled out Peter was because Peter was in the most danger. Also, it's quite obvious from reading the four Gospels and, of course, the book of Acts as well, that Peter was the leader of the apostles. No doubt about it. He was a natural-born leader. Now, having said that, I am not at all suggesting I agree with the Roman Catholic teachings that he was a priest or a pope. That's not in the Bible at all. There's no pope in the Bible, and there never will be a pope in the Bible, and I don't think there's any popes in heaven either. By the way, this new pope, he's really something, huh? He said that Muslims go to heaven, and Islam's got nothing to do with terrorism. He endorses homosexuality. I'm wondering, how can Roman Catholics still stand by him? Well, I guess they've been deceived for so long, guess they're just going to keep at it. But anyway, Peter was not a pope, but he was the leader. Now, I didn't give him any title or anything like that, but it's obvious he was a natural-born leader. So I think that's why the devil was trying to get him. I believe that with all my heart. Now, Satan desired to have all of them, and the devil has power and authority. Now, I need to understand that. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Why don't we go there real quick? Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5. It's Matthew 4 and Luke 4 both deal with the temptation of Christ. It's also in Mark chapter 1. But in Luke 4, verse 5, and the devil, taking him, meaning our Lord, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, he wasn't bluffing. He had that kind of power. You understand, the devil does have a lot of power. You know, in John chapter 12, verse 31, and in John 14, verse 30, in John 16, 11, our Lord referred to Satan as what? The prince of this world. He's the prince of this world. He does have immense power, and I think people need to recognize that. He is the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 1 John 5, verse 19 says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. That means literally under the sway of the wicked one, the devil. Now, even though the unregenerate may not understand this, even though they may not realize it or acknowledge it, Satan is guiding them, and Satan is directing their affairs. But though Satan has great power, his power is limited. Only the Lord Jesus, only God has absolute power. The devil's power is limited. For example, we know from the book of Job that Satan cannot touch a believer without God's permission. Remember, the devil had to ask God for permission. And God told the devil, you can only do so much. You can hurt him, but you can't kill him, and so on. And you go back and read Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. The devil's power is limited. He can only do things with God's permission. That's important to understand. So let's look at it in this area of sifting. If you're being sifted, it's only by God's permission. All right? That's something you need to understand. The Lord allowed Peter to be sifted. That's something we need to understand. Now, you might say, why would the Lord allow that? Well, why does the Lord allow a lot of things to happen? He's got his reasons. Some of them we can kind of understand now. Some we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. But the Lord has his reasons. Let me just give you some reasons, I think. Peter was very impulsive. Peter was headstrong. Peter was too self-confident. And I think Peter really didn't know himself. You say, why do you say he didn't really know himself? Well, go back to Luke 22 and verse number 33. Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Wouldn't you agree he really didn't know himself? You see, he wouldn't have said that if he really understood himself and knew himself. Peter blustered and blundered. Peter often stuck his foot in his mouth. We see this quite frequently. He talked when he should have kept quiet. And so because of this, and the Lord knew Peter's heart, the Lord allowed the devil to sift him. And the Lord said to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. You know, when I was studying yesterday, I came across an interesting poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He was a great poet. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but here's part of it. The poem's called The Sifting of Peter. Well, part of it goes like this. One look at that pale, suffering face will make us feel the deep disgrace of weakness. We shall be sifted till the strength of self-conceit be changed at length to meekness. That says it all right there. You see, God was working on Peter and he allowed the devil to sift Peter. Now, you can think about this, and this is the way this kind of thing happens often in the spiritual realm. The devil is trying to get people, and sometimes the Lord allows it for a reason, but the Lord only lets them go so far, like with Job. And with Peter, he said, I'm praying for you, Peter, and he did pray for Peter, and Peter eventually did repent. In fact, remember when Peter repented? What did it take to get Peter to repent? Just a look from Jesus, remember? The Lord just turned and looked at him, and Peter felt so convicted, he started crying. So Satan was successful in sifting Peter, Peter to an extent, only to the extent that he denied the Lord three times, but then he repented. Now, the devil was certainly successful in sifting Judas. Judas, of course, killed himself after betraying our Lord. And if you study this, there are many interesting parallels between Judas and Peter. Let me just give you a few parallels between Judas Iscariot and Peter. Both, of course, were tempted by the devil, but both were part of the original 12 apostles. Satan was after both of them. Our Lord prayed for Peter, but think about this. There's no record of our Lord praying for Judas. Now, I'm not saying he never prayed for him. I'm not saying there's no record of it. Keep your place here. Look at John 17. Look at John 17 and verse 9. Jesus is praying to God the Father. Jesus prayed to God the Father in John 17, 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Well, Judas is obviously worldly. Satan even entered into him. He was never saved. But anyway, I pray for them, meaning I pray for the disciples. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, meaning while I was with the disciples, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, That's interesting now. He goes, God the Father gave them to Jesus. He prayed for them, and he kept them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's an interesting statement right there. By the way, I think it was recently I preached on this. I'm not going to get into it again tonight, but there's only one other person in the Bible called the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. So there's a lot of interesting parallels between Peter and Judas. Satan entered into Judas. Judas betrayed our Lord, then went and hung himself. Judas went to his own place, Acts 1:25. I believe that refers to hell. On the other hand, Peter repented. Peter got right with God. Peter became a great preacher. In the early chapters of the book of Acts, you see what a great preacher Peter was. Peter wrote two epistles. Peter died a martyr's death, and then he went to heaven to be with the Lord. So we see quite a many parallels and contrasts with Peter and Judas. Well, enough of that. We have the sifter. The sifter, let me say a few words before we wrap up about the advocate. The advocate. Luke 22 and verse 32. He says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Now, the good thing about this is that not only that Peter was, the Lord was praying for Peter, but, you know, the Lord's praying for you and me right now. Right now, the Lord is praying for us. And I say that on the basis of Romans 8:34. Go to Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34 says this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So right now, the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's making intercession for us. I mean, he's praying for us. Now, that's not the only verse I want to look at. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. So keep this in mind, that the Lord not only prayed for Peter, thank God he prayed for you. He's praying for you, praying for me. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Now think about it. Peter was sifted. The devil sifted Peter. The Lord prayed for him. The Lord's praying for us. Maybe the Lord knows the devil's sifting you. We're going to sift you, and he's praying for you. Think about that. Now, Hebrews 7:25, talking about Jesus, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So Christ is described as ever liveth. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. So he's our advocate. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's God's perfect will, that you sin not, that I sin not, that you sin not. And if any man sin, meaning we know sometimes people are going to sin, even though God does not want us to sin, even though we don't need to sin, we don't have to sin. God says not to sin, but if any man does sin, watch this. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Interesting, that word advocate is also translated as comforter in John 14, 16. Paraclete is the original word, sometimes translated as comforter. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. We may fail him, but he never will fail us. Now, another thing I want to point out tonight, the word converted. Now, the way we usually use the word converted is, you know, I was Roman Catholic. I got saved. I was converted, right? Well, I know Sister Phyllis was raised Jewish. She got converted. So in other words, we usually use the word to mean saved, right? That's how it's usually used. And that's a perfectly good definition of conversion. However, the word can be used in different ways. Here in Luke 22, verse 32, it doesn't mean saved. It doesn't mean saved. Like, Peter, when thou art saved, strengthen thy brethren. Why not? He already was saved. Peter already knew the Lord. So then what does it mean then? What the Lord was saying is, Peter, you're going in the wrong direction. The devil's after you. He's trying to sift you, but I'm praying for you. And when you get turned around, When you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here it means when you turn around, when you get back on track. That's what it means in this context. Converted here doesn't mean when you get saved. He means when you get straightened out, when you get turned around, when you get right, when you're restored, strengthen thy brethren. Peter would be able to strengthen his brethren because the man who has been tested and tried is the man who can help others. So if you've been tested and tried, or maybe you even failed God, but you were broken about it, you repented over it, and you got right with God, you can be able to help someone else come along. Someone can say to you, you know, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm going through. You might say, yes, I do. I can help you. I was in your shoes. I messed up. I can help you with that. You see? So he said, strengthen thy brethren, because Peter, you'll be able to strengthen them. And I believe with all my heart, what this means is the man like Peter who's been tested and tried, the man who has failed but got up and got right with God and was restored, that man can help others. The man who has failed the Lord like Peter did is more likely to be patient with others. Wouldn't you agree? If you see someone who's really difficult, I mean, he has a bent towards backsliding, he can really be infuriating, you can be more patient with him if you used to be a backslider, right? If you used to be in the world and you were worldly-minded, you can be patient with somebody that's kind of worldly-minded, right? You see? So Peter can strengthen others because he was worldly-minded. He was impulsive and impatient and backslidden and denied the Lord. The man who has failed the Lord is more likely to be patient with others, more likely to be humble and understanding and forgiving. It's unlikely. I believe, I can't prove it to you from the Bible, but I believe it's unlikely that Peter would ever forget this lesson on sifting. I believe it stuck with him till his last day on earth. He thought about that. He remembered that. Peter failed the Lord, but Peter repented. Peter failed the Lord, but Peter wept afterwards. And therefore, the word conversion here means repented, repentance. Sometimes the word repent could refer to being converted. Sometimes the word converted could refer to repent. You say, well, how can the word repent refer to conversion? I'll just give you one example, and then we got to move on because the time is sliding by here, but I'll give you one example. 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. And chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack. I know a lot of men that are slackers, but the Lord is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what that means? That all should get saved. So sometimes repentance could refer to conversion. Sometimes conversion could refer to repentance, like we see here in Luke 22 and verse 32. When thou art converted, when you repent, Peter, when you repent, when you get restored, when you get back on track, Peter, strengthen thy brethren. And I believe Peter was great at strengthening the brethren. God used him in a great way. He dominates the early chapters of the book of Acts. In fact, he probably would dominate the whole book of Acts if it wasn't for one other person who came on the scene, the Apostle Paul. And as great as Peter was, he had to take second place next to the great Apostle Paul. Now, I guess we could wrap this thing up and summarize by saying Peter was overconfident. Peter did not see himself the way God saw him. And by the way, a lot of us are like that. We all have sort of a blind spot when it comes to that. And since Satan is invisible, remember, Satan's a spirit, he's invisible, we can't see him. Peter could not see what Satan was doing. He couldn't see in the spiritual realm like that. So Peter boldly and sincerely, and I believe he was sincere, declared his allegiance to the Lord, verse 33. Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Because Peter didn't understand his own heart. He was overconfident, and because he couldn't see what the devil was doing. And so the Lord had to make this startling prediction. And you think about it, it is a startling prediction. How could any mere man make a prediction like that? I mean, people say, well, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God. Well, how can you explain how any man could say, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me? How could any mere man say a thing like that? Only God can say something like that. Only God, who's omniscient, can say something like that. Well, sometimes the Lord has to allow some of his disciples to fail terribly in order to show them their weaknesses. Right? That's the way God works sometimes. He lets us fall. Like he let Peter fall. He lets us fail in order to show us our weaknesses. And sometimes even allows some of the greatest men like Peter to be sifted. Now, when Peter was backslidden, he lied. He denied that he knew the Lord. He even cursed. Remember, he cursed. Sometimes you say, I'm shocked. I heard a believer curse. Don't be too shocked. Peter cursed. Huh? And he was with the Lord every day for 3 years. He was in an inner circle with Peter, James, and John. He cursed, denied the Lord. But the good thing is Peter repented. Quickly, go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 69. I've said this so many times, but I'll say it again. Whenever you study in Luke, it's good to study Matthew and Mark and John. And when you study in Matthew, look at Mark, Luke, and John. It's good to compare the four Gospels. Now, Matthew 26, verse 69. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now, Peter sat without in the palace. He was sitting outside. And a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. She recognized him. And she said, you were with him. You were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. It's the first time he denied the Lord. No, not me. You got the wrong man. Verse 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Second time. Again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. The same Peter, just a few minutes earlier, was saying, I'll go with thee all the way. I'll never deny thee. Verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. They could tell by his accent. Verse 74, then began he to what? To curse, and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Well, Luke's got an interesting statement in chapter 22, verse 61. Go to Luke 22, 61. Very, very interesting. Very powerful. Something that's hard to forget. It's hard to get it out of your mind. Luke 22, and look at verse 61. Luke 22, 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Look, he didn't say a word. He just turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, that look from the Savior must have broken his heart. Look, the Lord is still looking down from heaven right now. He's looking at you and he's looking at me. Be careful how we conduct ourselves. Don't be overconfident. Don't be like Peter, just, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm fine. Be careful. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. You know, I think that one little look from Jesus must have hurt more than a whipping. I believe that. Well, God was preparing Peter. That same Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost was a much stronger man than the Peter who denied our Lord three times the night before his crucifixion. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some sifting going on in your life right now. If so, you need to really call on the Lord. Call on the Lord for help. Get things right with God now. especially tonight as we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Now it's not a good time to have anything in your life that's not right. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity.